You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
I don't know Chrissy Teigen, and I don't think she's given any interviews about her sobriety. But what she did do was post in her stories a picture of my book and say that a friend of hers and a doctor of hers gave it to her, and she'd been sober for 4 weeks. But her posting it and saying, I'm sober, she has 34 million people on her Instagram account. It really brought attention to sobriety and recovery and what it could look like and who could do it, and my book.
It seems that the only thing we've been able to count on lately is change.
And we're really interested in how you all are doing and adapting in these uncertain times.
Because we're always so inspired by your stories.
So we're continuing to feature all different types of experiences and different points of view.
Someone brilliant once said, stop looking for the new normal. That ship has sailed. All we have is what's happening now. So we named this Thursday edition of The Only One in the Room, The Now Normal.
And you can expect a new episode from us every week, as long as everything keeps changing.
And don't forget to look out for our special Sunday edition and tune in every Tuesday when we bring you a brand new, amazing episode of The Only One in the Room. Holly Whitaker, hi, how are you?
Hi.
I'm so happy to see you. I mean, hear you. I wish I could see you. Tell me, is there anything that you were really happy to leave behind you in 2020?
All of it?
Not all of it.
I'm not kidding.
All of it? You were happy to leave every single thing behind in 2020?
No. I mean, I think that the things I hope we get into this, because this would have been a conversation if we recorded this a week ago, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think 2020 was so hard. At the end of 2019, you know, I did a really large capital raise for Tempest. I, you know, finished my book. It came out. And then at the beginning of 2020, I was in this place of having achieved everything that I'd really set out to. And I was just so miserable and really desperately unhappy on that book tour and just swimming in it. And I really am not one of those people that is just like, oh, other people's opinions. You know, I can logically reason with other people's opinions, mm-hmm. but I felt really guilty. And at every single book tour stop that I went on, the first question in the audience was typically like, do you think that you've kept people from using AA with your book? Do you think you're hurting people with your book? And I take that pretty seriously. Even though I know it's not true, it doesn't matter, because if it's true to someone else and it's that, you know, if you're that misunderstood about something that specific and life threatening, you know, then you don't just shake it off.
Right.
So I think like I came into this year and then the book tour ended. We just moved into new headquarters in Tribeca. Mm-hmm. That went away.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm living in the woods by myself. And I am watching all of these people I follow and look up to just seem to get on Instagram and talk about being in the middle of the pandemic and I remember like Liz Gilbert, like, you know, wrote us a love letter and did it on Insight Timer. And I just couldn't stop comparing myself to how other people with microphones were responding while I still was like, you know, theoretically on book tour and supposed to be promoting my book. And I just lost it. And I did the only thing I knew how to do this year, in a year that as I was running a company, and there was a specific thing that happened to female CEOs this year. There was a specific thing that happened at The Wing. There was a specific thing that happened at Outdoor Voices. There was a specific thing that happened at Away. And I was watching like this model that had been presented to me really crumble, either like, I'm not trying to say, oh, there was a witch hunt for white female CEOs, but there was a really like specific thing that I was watching happen around me at the model that had been given to me, which is raise a lot of money, get in magazines, lead a company, do what men do. And so I think like uprising, COVID, living in the woods, what felt like a really big, painful experience of releasing my book and being misunderstood, even though, you know, I could read such positive comments. I just was like, why did I sign up for this life? I really was. And I know I've just been talking, but I'm just like, no one's asked me about this yet. But I just remember one day calling my friend Tracy, and I was on, I had to pull over to the side of the road, and I was like heaving and crying because every day was like going to, I hate saying war things, but like, it was like going to, I can't think of any sports or non-war analogies, but it was like, so it was, I'll just say it was like going to war. And then nothing was working out. And I called my friend Tracy, and I was just like, I don't know why I did this. And I want out, and I want a different life. And I've made so many mistakes, and I hate where I am. And like, how did I end up 41 alone in the woods with my hair falling out? And like, you know, I just, I guess what I'm leaving behind in 2020 is this self-doubt and having to have confronted some of the darkest places in me from being so lost. And so I'm coming into this year, I think, where there's the opposite happening. Really good things are happening. Yes. Like the thing that I keep on being very surprised about is how okay I am and how I'm not reacting, because I had to find such gratitude in nothing. I had to find such gratitude in just like such hopelessness. And I know I want to say really specifically, you know, my year was not like a lot of people's years. You know, I didn't lose a family member. You know, I didn't get my, I didn't go and get takeout food and kill like my parent, or, you know, I didn't lose my job. I didn't lose my home. And so I had to really stay in that space of like, I'm so lucky, even though I was also in that space of I've made terrible mistakes and I built myself the wrong life.
I expected nothing less than such a thorough, thoughtful response to that question. Most people would have said, leave it behind in 2020? Oh, TikTok. I'd like to leave that behind.
Oh, is that what you were thinking? Oh, okay. Oh yeah. Then I'm definitely leaving TikTok behind.
I'm leaving the first
But no, you went through it. And I was with you for all of that, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I was with you for all of that. But as I was listening to you, I was also with you for all of that. And thank you for taking us through that. That was like, I exhaled when you finished. Like, wow, that was quite the year. And I also appreciate your thoughtfulness and reflecting that it was different than a lot of people's years who did have a family member die or in the ICU or someone that might be still hospitalized this year. But still,
suffering is suffering.
Yes,
but
exactly.
it's not all the same.
No.
And context is important.
Yes. So with that, I will say, for context, I'm Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is the only one in the room, the now normal edition. But I'm never the only one in this room, because as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun. Hi, Hun.
Hi,
is
Hun.
Here as well.
Hi, Hun.
Hi, Hun.
So I'm just going to say a little bit about, well, I'm going to say a little bit about everything you said, but I'm going to kind of introduce a subject matter and start with January 2021, marking the ninth month of a pandemic that you just described. And in that time, drinking, day and otherwise, has skyrocketed. And for people in recovery, relapsing, which is drinking again after you've set a sobriety date, has too. So how does one retain or regain their balance in recovery during this time? Here with us today to help us sort this out, we have my dear, dear, dear friend and woman of the hour, Holly Whitaker. And unless you've been off screens this month, you've seen influencer Chrissy Teigen's posts and interviews about the book that got her sober, which is Quit Like a Woman. Or you might have caught one of Holly's many interviews these past couple weeks, including my favorite. I'm going to post the video of me watching it with Robin Roberts.
So cute.
Isn't it great? On GMA, which Good Morning America, and Holly's best-selling book, which I mentioned, is Quit Like a Woman. It's a memoir self-help book about her own recovery. It was released 1 year ago this week, I think. And the paperback launches the week that you're hearing this interview. What date does it launch?
January 12th.
On the 12th, yes. So as you're listening to this, it launched 2 days ago. And Holly is the founder and CEO of Tempus, formerly Hip Sobriety. She has years of experience in the fields of healthcare and tech. She created a human-centered recovery modality and a virtual platform, which was way ahead of its time, offering education, community, and support services. She created that back in 2014. She's been featured in the New York Times and Vogue and TechCrunch and was named in Inc.'s 2019 Female Founders 100 list. So, officially, welcome, Holly.
Thank you so much.
So
thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Wow, I really did a long intro on myself, didn't I, before we even got to the intro.
This is great, though. It was great. It was perfect because you said a lot of what we're going to talk about and, you know, you just kind of set the stage for it. But can you just tell me what did happen recently with Chrissy and Quit Like a Woman and how that all came about?
Yeah. So I don't know Chrissy Teigen and I want to be very clear on this. And I don't think she's given any interviews about her sobriety. But what she did do was post in her stories a picture of my book and say that a friend of hers and a doctor of hers gave it to her and she'd been sober for 4 weeks. And I don't believe she's, I don't know. I know she didn't say this book got me sober, but she said, you know, there was an implication that's really been drawn out by the press. But her posting that, and this is what I talked about on GMA, her posting it and saying, I'm sober and doing it, you know, not on the same day Anthony Hopkins, you know, 45 years later said he's sober, you know, and so that is a really clear picture of a big difference, which is it's not a thing you hide for 45 years. It's a thing you talk about in real time to a degree. And that's a very different, and you and I both know that's very different in the recovery scene. And then she came out, she didn't say, I'm a sick person that can't ever drink again, which is also a thing. She came out, you know, really joyously and said, I'm not drinking again. And she named specific ways drinking was showing up in her life that she was done with. And she has 34 million people on her Instagram account.
Yeah.
It really brought attention to sobriety and recovery and what it could look like and who could do it.
Yeah.
And my book.
It did. And it's so cool. Like, I would have seen this had I not known you and been really excited about it. But knowing you the way that I do, it was just crazy. Like, I feel, one, like it happened to me, and two, I've never had anything like that happen to me.
When she watched your interview, she looked about 10 years old.
It
was so cool. I saw you film her, and then I saw, like, you were filming her, and she was like, put it on the TV. It was so cute.
Are you getting this? Look, it's Holly. We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
This episode's being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
Huh? Oh, I see you like your new silk sleep eye mask kit.
I love it. I'm so relaxed as soon as I put my mask on. And then the bedtime spray too? So good.
Oh, you mean that magic handcrafted spray that Melanie Apple makes with rosato and Roman chamomile?
That's right. And don't forget the ylang ylang. I also heard that she adds a dash of vetiver.
Honey, I'm not sure what any of those things are, but that spray does the trick. I'm asleep seconds after you spray our pillows.
It's my favorite thing about bedtime, besides sleeping next to you, hon.
No.
Voyage AC has absolutely everything you need. It has wonderful gifts, faux fur throws, beachwear, diffusers, clutches, beach bags, clothes, gorgeous mix and match gift boxes, and these marvelous new silk sleep eye mask kits. So how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VOYAGEETCIE MelanieMarie.com.
Hey, and as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount
what?
To all our listeners right now. That's 10% off everything you buy.
All you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
And your book is coming out in paperback, or has come out in paperback at the time of this listening. That's pretty incredible that this is all happening on the one-year anniversary of your book. And
weird.
It's serendipitous, I think. You said something on that GMA interview that I've heard you say before that always just strikes me, which is that people wait until they're at a point where they're drinking, quote unquote, alcoholically before they address their drinking, and that's too late, or they don't need to wait that long. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, this really just comes from this idea that alcohol is normal and something that everyone's supposed to be able to handle. Mm-hmm. We graduate people into drinking. People are expected to drink when they come of age. There's never no one ever says, do you think you're going to drink when you turn 21? You know, it's typically like a rite of passage that we expect everybody's going to move through. And I think in that, you know, we then think that the only people that don't drink are people that become addicted to it or who were genetically disposed as alcoholics. Mm-hmm. And so, and I write about this in the book because this really does stem from, you know, after the Prohibition, there was a lot of people that were extremely still on the fringe looking for a dry society and an organization that was specifically looking to prove alcohol as dangerous. Mm. Ended up getting alcohol industry funding and shifting to prove that some people got sick who were already, you know, sick and couldn't handle alcohol. To study like really alcoholism is finding what's wrong with these outlying people. Mm-hmm. And so we've really come up with this binary idea that there's very sick people that are predestined to become alcoholics. And that's what we just in general think. And then there's everyone else. And so that ends up keeping people, you know, who are, you know, potentially having a worsening relationship with alcohol really saying, but am I this yet? Because that's the only time you might quit or get help or be in recovery versus just looking at, is this not helping me? Is this doing me any favors? Is this really something I want to be doing to myself with my time?
Yeah, we had a guest on a few months ago who was also one of my first writing teachers named Lisa Jacob. And she has a large following as an author, but also because she was a child actress, best known for Mrs. Doubtfire as Robin Williams' oldest daughter. And so her book is called You Look Like That Girl.
Yeah.
And she posted about not drinking anymore, or about sobriety, actually. That's what she called it. And all these people came back with pity, like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was so bad. And she's like, it wasn't. I just kind of felt shitty after a few glasses of wine and I didn't like it. So I'm not going to drink anymore. And she made it very clear that she wasn't drinking alcoholically. That wasn't something that she was dealing with. But she had this epiphany. It's a really interesting journey to watch because people want to feel sorry for her that she can't drink anymore, when in fact that's not true because she's choosing not to. And she's not in a program that tells her she can't ever again, and she hasn't been, you know, intervened on or any of the things that we equivocate with can't, you know. It's a really interesting thing to see people doing out loud. And the other half of it, of course, it inspires other people that they can do something like that as well. And you talk about alcohol being a really powerful neurotoxin. Can you just explain really quickly what it does to us, how it affects us?
Well, I mean, it's not just the fact that it messes with our brain. And Judith Grizzle talks about this in her book, Never Enough. She goes through each drug and there's specific drugs work on specific regions of the brain, and alcohol basically works on all the regions of the brain. So it essentially, you know, poisons our brain. But it also is one of the things I really like to point out and talk about is that we do all these different things to correct our hormones, our blood sugar balance, our gut balance, and alcohol is detrimental to all of those things. So, you know, it's linked to 7 different cancers. It messes with our sleep cycles. There's just such a long list of ways that it negatively impacts us. I think that the most insidious way, though, is that we use it oftentimes to de-stress, to wind down, which it does initially because it's a depressant, but our bodies are constantly trying to counteract what drugs we put into them. So if you take a depressant, you're going to be stimulated. Your body's going to release, you know, adrenaline and cortisol to counteract a depressant, a foreign substance that's depressing you. And then, and just like if you take a stimulant, the body's, you know, process is to take you down. So I think we use it, we're sold that it's like an anti-anxiety almost, but it actually creates more anxiety as well as more depression because it's a depressant.
Boy, I know about all that firsthand.
Right?
I really do. I have felt all of that and been like, what's going on? Yeah. And it takes a little while to level out afterward, too, after you've been using it for a long time. So a lot of people did use it to wind down or de-stress during the pandemic. How did you take care of your recovery during the pandemic?
I think what was so interesting was that I didn't know what to do at the beginning, in that, okay, I'm here by myself. I'm pretty depressed. I'm pretty scared, pretty isolated, you know, and I was thinking of all these different ways that I was going to have to fix my pandemic lifestyle. You know, I was just like, we had all these new sets of instructions on how to thrive in pandemic, and you were watching it around you. People were like baking bread and, you know, sewing their own clothes and returning to, like, you know, the olden times. Right. Like, I got down to the preciousness of my recovery. I remembered in this, the only thing I don't have to do this whole time is not drink. That's it. I just have to not drink. Right. I just have to not use drugs. I just have to protect that one thing that's important to me. And so that got me straight. And I just did the things. It almost felt like early sobriety, which is the bottom drops out and you just cling to the things that you know sustain you. Not necessarily make you feel amazing, but things that just support you and sustain you. So I started running to move my body. I did my meditation practice. I read so many Wayne Dyer books. I'd never read him before, but I read so many, like, very optimistic books. I got into The Secret. And I started getting very grateful, and I started writing gratitudes. And I actually started this practice of, when I went to bed at night, I started saying, thank you for my sheets. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this glass of water by my bed. And just being like, remember how plentiful, like, this world is. And then in the mornings, I would start waking up and I would just say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And if you say it enough, I don't know if it works on other people, but I found if I said it by the fourth or fifth time, I actually was remembering how much I had to be grateful for and thankful for. Mm. And so it was very basic.
But that's wonderful. I have a very similar, I absolutely am grateful for my sheets every time I get into my bed. I never forget to be grateful for that. So those are tools that you have, that you've honed for a little bit, right? And have been using. And so I have sent a lot of people to Tempest Sobriety to seek out your online community that you've created during the pandemic. A lot of them are just getting sober for the first time and don't have a place to show up and be with other people who are doing the same in person. Do you have suggestions for people who are just getting sober now or deciding to stop drinking?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many. It's really hard to whittle them down. I think that one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about in pandemic, I listened to a really good Hidden Brain podcast on this, about how we have high peak experiences of terror that are followed by high peak experiences of relief. And how oftentimes, like, that high peak experience engages us and throws us into something else. Meaning, and I really translated this, remembering the high peak experience of being terrified that I was going to die from alcohol and of what it was doing to me. And then having that high peak experience of realizing I might not die. And so I think what people in this space, this endless space, where we don't have anything to look forward to, where it feels like we don't know what's going to happen, which is basically all of life. It right. just is very clear. Like, we just are recognizing right now because we don't have the bite to sink our teeth into. We have this really big air of what's going to happen. So we're in this holding pattern. I actually think that people in this space and confronting their drinking and the height of that then allows them this portal into another experience where they can throw themselves into it. And so I think that what I would like to offer is that the immediate follow-on to the recognition of, I think I need to change about my drinking, is typically an energized period where you are potentially more motivated. And I think, one, if you find yourself in that, use that. You are in the space where you can literally just say, I'm going to focus on supporting this one decision, and use whatever that like motivation is to get yourself going, and start by reading books, start by joining communities, because now there's so many online.
Yes.
Start by creating a small, simple ritual or practice, like a meditation practice. The other thing is, if you are finding that you are in the endless phase where it feels like it's harder for you to motivate yourself to it, then I would also offer good, because I think like this is the point of it being very difficult and you not wanting to engage and wanting to go back to an old cycle is also actually where you make the most change. And so I wanted to talk about it from those two perspectives rather than saying try a meditation, which is just take advantage of the actual energy and space you find yourself in and don't call it wrong.
I love that.
You know what's great about that too is that even without trying to quit drinking, those are just really good lifestyle choices to make each day. They're lovely ways to go through your day, you know, gratitude, finding space for yourself. I love it. My daughter just picked up meditation through the pandemic as something that she finds relief in. And I think, what a great tool at 16 to just pick up.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah.
It could have saved us all a lot of trouble, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I almost think your book, if you took away the, you know, quit and just replace, it offers just really good life skills.
Well, and I think that is what recovery is, though. When I think of recovery, I'm just like, this is what everyone has to go through at some point. Any meaningful experience here on this planet is going to involve a reckoning, a rebuilding, and a maintenance.
And a way to get through that, you know, that is sustainable and not destructive.
Right. It's exactly what's happening in the world right now.
You know, you mentioned a little bit about battling with the idea of, were you against AA or for AA? And I think the first time we spoke in the first episode, I'm really happy for anyone who can figure out a way to lead a more peaceful and productive life. I think that that's, I don't think we have to, it has to be black or white or this or that.
Well, and I also think it's just giving people the power to choose and the power to not feel gaslit when they're having an experience that feels true.
Yes.
Or the power to criticize a system, even if you're using that system. I think like we didn't expect, you know, Catholics to leave the church, because of the sex abuse scandals. Mm-hmm. But we also want people of an institution to have the words to hold that institution accountable and to change with times. And right. So I think the silliest thing is believing that any criticism of a system is anything that is going to hurt people. The criticism, the ability for us to think through the systems we are part of and to think for ourselves in those systems, no matter if it's, you know, AA or even if it's Tempest, which is a system, right? People need to be able to criticize.
The other thing I wanted to say to that is this idea of AA, and it's new still, right? Recovery from yes. alcoholism is less than a century old. So there,
yes.
it's time for other voices. And, you know, I always like to say that, you know, in my lifetime alone, the population of the planet has doubled. And I think people's experiences have also doubled and tripled, and that needs to be shared. And
yes.
you talked about not having to blow your whole life up before you step in and think, oh, I want to make a choice that's healthy and good for me, that goes against yeah. societal norms. Where can I get some information on that?
Holly, I see that we're at time with you, so I'm going to very reluctantly say goodbye. We could talk all day, and we will. We're going to talk more. Obviously, you and I will, but we'll also talk more.
But I just want to say to both of you, yeah. what meant so much last year was being able to come and meet you and do that podcast and then both, you know, have you both at that event. Well, Laura, you
yeah.
seeing it, you know, and leading us, and also just, you know, you, both of you showing up kind of my aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And just, totally. It feels, it's a lonely path, and to make friends that you just, you know, were there for you. It's just such a treat to know you both.
It was beshert or kismet when it, yeah.
It was.
It really was. I'm so grateful for you, Holly. And, same. You know, just the idea that I hadn't seen you in person before a year.
I
know it doesn't make any sense to me because I feel like I've known you for so long. But
and Holly, I send men your way too. I send anybody who is struggling with the idea of, you know, two regiment of a recovery program or resentment against someone. I'm like, you know, you just need to check this out. You know,
we're getting more and more men too, which is so great. One of my friends said, I was in a Target the other day and a man walked in and asked the clerk, do you know Holly Whitaker's book? Can you help me find it?
Oh,
and she
wow.
was like, what? Mm-hmm. But we are getting more and more men in the program. And I mean, it is a universal framework. It's just centered on the gender that is not usually centered.
Yeah. Right.
One of the genders.
You had to grow. You had to start the seed somewhere, huh?
Well, yeah, what you do works for everybody.
It does. Yeah. yeah.
Whatever they identify with, it's... Yeah. If they want to stop drinking, there's a community, and it's beautiful. Tell me where people can find you before we go.
You can find me and my work at Holly on Instagram. That's where I write most frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the book at quitlikeawoman.com, and then you can find our program, our recovery program, Tempest, at jointempest.com.
Yes, you can. All right. Thank you so much, Holly.
Mm-hmm.
Go get them, girl.
Thank you so much. I will.
Thank you much, Holly.
Love you. The Only One in the Room has brand new interviews for you every week. You won't want to miss our full episodes every Tuesday, Scott Talks on Wednesday, and our new Thursday series, The Now Normal. And twice per month, be sure to catch our 30-minute Sunday edition by subscribing to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Join our Only One in the Room Facebook group if you'd like to tell us about your Only One story. All of us at The Only One in the Room wish you safety and wellness.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.